You're listening to YourRightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, Joshua, chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I would not, pursue after them quickly, for you should overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after the way to Jordan, under the forge, and as soon as they had pursued after them, they were gone, they shut the gate. Before they laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, it shall be, the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, "Get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards you may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. It shall be that whosoever shall be out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter not this our business, then we will quiet of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. For your faithfulness and for this privilege that we have, once again, as much as we can, we want to express our gratitude. And now we look to you to shut us in as you cleanse us, as you make us a people that can be pleasing in your sight. Consequently, we look to you for this cleansing, the efficacy of the blood of Christ. Oh, how we are grateful as we remember that this morning, particularly as this lesson demonstrates this so well. We pray you rebuke the evil one now, as you honor your great Son and build us all up in the most holy faith. Yea, and if by chance, some way we missed it, that someone is here who does not know Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, may the Holy Spirit now move and meet that need. And this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray, amen. Well, you know, last week we dealt with the fall of Jericho. Chronology-wise, it follows after Rahab. But again, this demonstrates to us that not only are the words of God perfect, but likewise his works are perfect. Because, you see, Rahab demonstrates to us the same type of an ending as the life of Sarah. And Sarah's life followed that of the obedience of Abraham. And she lived to see the conclusion of the promise that God made her. And likewise, Rahab follows the obedience of Israel as they marched around the walls of Jericho. Her faith is demonstrated before, however. But it follows after in the chronology because she lived to see what? The conclusion of God's promise. See how it is? And not only the words. That's, beloved, I don't know how I press it on you, but I want you to see that. That's very important to read. Every word of God is perfect, but the order in which he gives it to us does not always follow chronology-wise, but it is according to his perfect work. You see? You are a wonderful trophy of that. 'Tis written, spoken by our Lord, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We were the last to come into any light from God, the last to be promised anything as a Gentile. But we're going to be the first to come into the blessings. Whereas Israel, who had the first preeminent place in the promises of God, will be the last to come in. You see, say chronology-wise is a wonderful study, but so is the principles by where he works his sovereign will perfect too. And his works follow orderly, just like his word follows orderly. Hence, as you study the scriptures from the canon, that's one thing, and should be studied that way. But by the same token, you should study the scriptures chronology-wise. Because the word of God is perfect, and the work of God is perfect. And his ways are perfect. So that there's no flaw. This not only gives you a better understanding in right division, but also honors him, because it opens your eyes. You see? And Rahab demonstrates that to us real well. Just as in the case of Sarah, she laughed when God said she's going to have a son. She was past that time when women could. And the Lord corrected her by saying, asking her the question, is anything too hard for God? And that gave her something to take hold of. It says she believed. And she lived to see the one who had caused the laughter in the first place. And she never forgot it, because that boy was there all the time. Every time she looked at him, she had a good laugh. And you see, likewise, Rahab, a pagan, living in a city, all had heard of the might of Jehovah, the great God that was leading and energizing the children of Israel. They all heard that, and fear and trembling, we read earlier, fell upon all the city. There was only one that really believed that Jehovah was a greater God than the gods of the pagans. One thing about the pagans, to give them the benefit of their doubts, they were not like our modern atheists. They had no question about a creator. They had no question about God. It was a matter of whether their God was greater than the God of the children of Israel. That's all. We ought to remember this when we deal with sects, too. Different cults. They're not atheistic. They believe in a false God. And they're counting on their false God. You see? But ours is greater. This is manifest when you see those who are open to the truth, those who God enlightens, how their relief is there, like the Seventh-day Adventists I made mention. This man, I guess, is about 40 years old. I don't know what he was in there for, but he's a well-educated man. You can tell that by talking to him. And this was the last hour of the meeting. He walked up to me and I tell you, you could not only what he said, but you could see what he was a relieved man. And if you can appreciate what legalism is, the bondage it's under, here was a man in that very meeting had experienced. He didn't even tell me what it was, and we had to leave the next hour, so I didn't get to visit with him very much. But enough to know that he was a free man. He told me so. Almost 40 years old. He's in a jail and he said he's free. That's wonderful to realize that. And you see, Rahab was pretty much in the same situation. She was shut up in a pagan city. And here come these two spies that Joshua would send. And she knew who they were. She ran a whorehouse up on top of the wall there. And that's one thing about a madam's house. They usually know pretty much who their customers are. And these fellows were not regular customers. But you could tell by their speech and one thing or other that they were strangers. And the rumors about what Jehovah was doing and how he was coming toward Jericho, if you could imagine getting in the atmosphere of that, so that when these two men showed up, men that were not any part of that city of Jericho, this woman who ran this house had sharp eyes. To be a madam, you got to see what's going on. And she did. She knew. Also, the king heard about the rumor. Let me stop and inject this. I've heard my own self, and I've seen some writings of even some pretty wise men try to get around that she was a whore. The Bible tells you she was. It's kind of like the conversation we had on the telephone about 3 or 4 weeks ago about the old ladies that had been a Baptist for 40 years. She knew perfectly well that there was no wine mentioned in the good sense in the Bible. It was all grape juice. See? Try to protect God. You know, beloved, you don't have to protect God. He's big enough to take care of himself. He says something. If it offends you, then it's because of your own pride and Aaron, that's right. God is not apologetic at all. Our Lord in the days of His flesh, He never apologized for anything. And He addressed the finest of His day with these words: "You generation of vipers, you whited sepulchers." And He didn't apologize either. He said, "You are of your father the devil." That was the top of the heap He was talking to. That wasn't the man on the street. He didn't apologize. God does not have to apologize. But He can take a whore. In this case, He did. Her heart was toward the things of God. We don't know what her circumstances were. Evidently, she took care of a lot of relatives. Because her mother and her father, her sisters and her brothers were all alive, and all her relatives. And she wasn't a selfish woman. She wasn't just thinking about herself. But she wanted all of them to come in under that blood covenant. We're so self-centered. Now, this woman demonstrates a wonderful truth. We're concerned about our safety. She was too, but not only there. It considered every one of her blood relatives. She wanted them under the blood. Not only so, but she said, notice, it says that the whole city was in unbelief. She wasn't. And she said, "Look, I'll make a deal with you. You deliver my family, all my kinfolk, and I'll protect you while you're here. I don't want just your word for it. I want a token. I want you to give me something that'll demonstrate the fact that you carried out. Give me a true token." You remember we read that? And after the ruler of Jericho learned that there were strangers, he had his KGB on the business too. He found out there was two people there shouldn't be. And he found out exactly where they came. And he went to her and she said, "Well, yeah, they was here. But just before you shut the gate, they went out the front door. I didn't know who they are." She was right on the wall. She could see the gate where they came in. They went out. She said, "Get your KGB out on the trail and you'll catch them. They can't be very far." And then she went up the roof. That's when she made her contract with them. "And I want a true token. I want something that I can see, feel, smell, that I know that you carried out. And I don't know, I don't know this. This is speculated, but I'm not. She probably wore a red robe and had a red thing that she wrapped around. And she let them down the wall with that red cord. And I can almost read between the lines as she's letting them down. You haven't given me that token yet. I get to the ground. The spy said, you tie that cord in the window on the outside where nobody can see it except from the outside. Remember, this city was shut up. Nobody went out or in. Nobody could see it from within. It had to be from without. I need not dwell on the symbolicness of the red cord because I think you get it. Now, whether she, I don't know what she knew it was, red had anything to do with it or not. But I'm sure that those Jews, as they let down the wall and they saw that scarf or whatever it was they were let down with. They saw it was red, and they knew that symbolized to them what God had done for them in delivering him out of Egypt. When I see the blood, I'll do what? I'll pass over. He said, that's your token. Tie it in the window. And all hung on her believing that old piece of rope, whatever it was, that was her token. I can see then, she got that in the window, and she sends one of the kids around to her mother and her father, her sisters, her brothers, and all her kinfolk. I want you to be over here next week, because we're going to have a big celebration. Whatever excuse it was, she got them all there. And the guards had warned her, or the spies had warned her, don't let anybody out in the streets when we attack, because if you do, we won't be responsible. And I don't know how she kept them all in the house, but she did. Turn to the 6th chapter. We didn't read that. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. Joshua had said, past tense notice, unto the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and our father, her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. They brought them out to her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel on the outside. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So just before the walls fell, nobody, keep in mind, this city shut up. These two spies at night, the night before, in the dark, approached the house. And they say to Rahab, well, we're here. Is your family here? Yeah. Get them all out. And go and dwell outside the camp. See, they're acting under the law. He's a curse of Gentiles right now. They've got to be formally brought into the family. See, they had rituals for this. One of them was baptism. You recognize them. And we're called upon too. Not directly to us, but to the nation of Israel. You remember in the book of Hebrews, Paul is constantly reminding them of they need to go on to completion. For instance, the 6th chapter. Therefore, leaving behind the teachings of Jesus, let us go on to completion, not laying aside the foundations of dead works. All that was about to slip into the past, you see. And then when he comes to the last chapter, he said, let us go forth unto him who's without the camp, not accepted by Israel. See, outside them, outside. That's what we're called upon to do, to come outside. All that legalism, all those grave clues, all those things will keep us under bondage. Come outside. And see how the procedure follows. Rahab was brought out. Out the camp. We don't have to come into the camp of Israel even after we're there, because we don't have to be a part of that. See, we got a brand new set of promises that the Bible knew nothing about. The secret addressed to us. But Rahab, you see, was obedient. Sort of like the jailer in Acts 16. You remember? A great earthquake had hit the prison. He started to commit suicide because evidently had some murders in there, and had they escaped, it would have cost him his life. He didn't want to die at the hands of the government because that's a pretty awful death. He'd rather commit suicide than that. That would have been a cruel death. Paul stopped him. We're all alive. And he knew that you couldn't be singing the top of your voice for joy in all that disturbance unless there was something unusual. He fell down at the feet of Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe." And here's where Paul exercised some wonderful faith. "And all thy house and thou shall be saved." A lot of people teach household salvation. But only, you see, when Paul said that, there was a ministry of gifts, sign gifts. And Paul exercised that sign of faith, not only for the salvation of that jailer, but for the whole household. And Rahab, by faith, exercised the same principle. When she said, "You got to save my whole family," she believed God would do that too. That was her faith. By faith we learn. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies, notice, with peace. She wasn't afraid. She had peace. She believed that God would deliver. And she took that upon herself. Obviously, God had to exercise some real wonderful faith. Now, how does faith come? Yeah, there you are. Faith. She heard from God. God give her something that we don't. This isn't recorded. But she not only asked for herself, but she asked for all her bloodline. And God gave it to her. Now, he gave her something she didn't expect, too. You know what happened to her? Well, she married into Israel's people. And she had a son named Boaz. And Boaz, through Ruth, is the lineage of our Lord. She didn't ask for that. See, grace goes the extra mile. She not only got the answer to what she wanted, but God showered her down with something that very few people have such a privilege outside the household. That's how gracious he is. Sometimes we need to pass out flowers before we die, and I want to do this right now. I want you to know that you may sometimes think I exercise a lot of liberty, but I appreciate that you give me a free hand. You don't interfere with me in any way. Even when I'm wrong, you don't say anything about it. I appreciate that. That don't cost you anything extra. But I want you to know I appreciate that. I really do. Not many ministers have that. I really, my heart goes out to a lot of them. The peer pressure is fantastic on some of these men. I don't know how they stand it and consciously get to the platform ever. I'm not hindered. I have nothing to bother me at all. I don't have to please you anyway. Thank God it evidently does in a way, but I don't have to. I have to please the one I get up here in front of the platform. And you've given me that liberty, and I appreciate it. And I try, by the grace of God, it's sometimes hard. Anybody that's going to one day fill this platform, he should be given that same liberty. Because he has to learn too, you know. It'll probably be Tommy here. I don't know who the Lord has for sure, but I suspect it is. He's young. You're going to make a lot of stupid mistakes, but you remember that. You didn't live here, eh? The Lord tarries. However, I'm hoping that I'll make it till 88, and if it does, it won't make any difference, Tom, so you don't have to worry. But there's no competition there at all. He's free. He'll always be that. And I want you to know I appreciate it. I know he does too. Well, see what a wonderful picture this is, though. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. And I say that to place this emphasis. Because a lot of people today are talking about Jesus, 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 and some of it's done in ignorance. Some of it's done just to attract the crowds. But it's the efficacy of the blood of Christ, beloved, that means something. And that needs to be demonstrated everywhere you go. Pardon me referring to myself again, but for about 6 months, I've been, about one day a week, I go down to the Shepherd Mall. There's about 50 old men hanging around down there, anywhere from 70 to 90 years old. I've been trying to break the ice there, and I haven't gotten very well. But last week, I got two of them aside the table. One old man, 85 years old, and I'm told that he's worth $several million. I don't know. I don't know. That may be just gossip. He just sits around and clips coupons. But I said to him, we finally got down to some serious talking after the ball games and his trip to Las Vegas. I had to sit there and listen to all this. I said to him, what's going to happen to you when you die? What do you think he said? That I'm going to hell. I like the fellow off the chair. I said, do you want to go? Not particularly. Well, you don't have to go. Oh, he said, you know, I'm so damn rotten, and I mean, he just come right on out of it. There's no way that I could ever balance out things up there. I mind you, I'm putting my words in it, but I want you to get the conversation. I said, yeah, there's a way out. We got time, yeah. Well, I didn't feel like talking about theological things because I knew he wasn't talking about it. So I said, look, one picture sometimes is worth 1,000 words. Look at this. I just picked a napkin off the table there. And I drew two lines like this. I said, this is a great highway that men are traveling. It's a Broadway. It's full of men who sought money. It's full of men who sought power. It's, in other words, it's all self-centered all the way through. Because I knew he could understand that. He'd been honest with me, I was going to be honest with him. But I said, you know, along that broad way, every once in a while, it's a little road off the side there. The big sign says, this is the way. It's not a very attractive road. It's full of ruts and everything else. But this is the way that's appealing to your self-interest. There's nothing out here that's but an endless desert side road. Because he's had some surveyors have told him they've been out here and there's nothing out there. It's all a waste. It's a religion, you know, it's a waste of time. They've all heard that, you know. And if you're really going to get anywhere with God, what you're going to have to do is when you get down here to give an account, the good things you've done in life are going to have to outweigh the bad. See? That's the wise way, you know. You fellas know you never get nothing for anything. You got to pay for it, you know. And God demands 100% payment. So that breaks down. I told him, I said, all them good weights, they don't still, you still have, you haven't got the whole balance there. It's 100%. Looked at it. Well, I missed the next day down there. The day after that, he came. I was sitting there, and I'd been waiting there for about an hour, listening to all the hoopla. I won't define what hoopla is, but and finally I saw the old man coming. So I moved over to the chair by myself. And he had a wooden plaque like. You've seen these on the walls, you've seen people with a coat of arms. He had a wooden plaque. He'd made himself. And you could tell it was pretty old, perhaps 10, 12 years old. He'd made it. And he came and he just threw it down in front of me like that. In this corner, he put a little black walnut about that big. Underneath it, written, me. On this side, he'd taken three old briar roots. You ever see a briar root? Oh, it's the ugliest thing you ever saw. On this side, he had two right above the black walnut. And the other old man with him, the old man with him, he just died laughing. He looked at that. Why, he said, Jim, that don't look like you. Old man didn't say a word. I knew that. I didn't know what I was trying to figure out what he's trying to tell me. So I looked at it again. And immediately I understood. I said, yes, it does. That's the you that you and I can't see. He sees it. Old dirty briar. It's all of us. He said he saw. So then I told him the story of my own conversion. He listened intently. Now here's how the devil always breaks in. Just at that time, about six of them from the other table come over there and hit the old man on the back, you know, and broke in. That was a Tuesday, last Tuesday. And he said, well, come by tomorrow, I want to talk to you. I said, well, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to penitentiary. He said, when are you going to be back? I said, the weekend. I'll see you next week. That's where it is. Pray for this old man. He's 85 years old. You never know what you run into. But that man, I never ran into a fellow like him. He drew me a picture there. I don't know how long ago he made that thing, but he threw it out on the table. I didn't say a word. He's testing me. If I could hear where he's coming from, I heard him. He looked at himself on the inside. The other old man laughs. You know, he didn't see it. Anyhow, I got a date next week. not formally, but just dropping in there, listen to all the hoopla, and then we get down to business. I hope, but pray for me. That's a real challenge. There's about 50 of them down there. They're anywhere from 70 to 90 years of age. It's a real challenge. They stay down and used to walk down there, I think, for exercise. That's what they do. Drink coffee and tell all them lies. Father, seriously, we do thank you that you're so patient with us, long-suffering. Taking care of every need and opening doors and closing them. We marvel at your magnificence, and truly the old song, God works in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. Help us catch just a glimpse of that, Father, that we may be encouraged, even when we're discouraged, to this the honor of your great Son, that we may be what you want us to be. Thank you for this, Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. His name is wonderful. Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.